Oh, good. My upstairs neighbors are pounding on the floor again.
Nice.
He's a fucking asshole.
Are they still pounding? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
Holy shit.
Yes.
Wow.
And I don't know what it is they're pounding.
Each other.
Dance, monkey, dance.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
I'm doing just great. How are you?
Are we lagging already?
We are lagging already.
Oh,
it was
Jesus
very bizarre.
Christ.
Thank you, Google Hangout.
Okay. Well, we'll see how this works. So how you doing? How's things down in the Great South?
It's great. It's hotter than a homeless guy's crotch. Pretty disgusting.
It's been pretty hot here, like unseasonably hot here.
Really?
Yeah, like upper 90s hot.
That's kind of what we got stuck with. It was pretty bad this weekend.
Yeah, that's gross.
Had a big old thunderstorm about 3 o'clock, so that was fun.
Yeah.
Always is.
Did you do anything fun this week? No, you work. You work all the time.
No,
now.
I work all the time. My life sucks.
You suck.
Yeah, well.
What are we supposed to talk about if you work all the time?
I don't know.
And we can't talk about what you do, which would be really interesting, but
it's super top secret. So we can't discuss any of it.
You're making it hard, John.
Oh, really?
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
So we had a medical emergency in my house this week.
Oh, God. Now what?
My wife had a migraine headache in
yeah.
the beginning of the week, which
and
culminated
she cut you?
No. Which culminated in her losing vision in one eye.
Oh, my God.
So we went to an urgent care because she doesn't have a primary care doctor.
Okay.
Because she never goes to the doctor, so why would she need one?
Mm.
So we go and they look and they say, you don't have a detached cornea, which is good, but this could be the start of something really bad, like MS. One of the first signs of MS is that you lose vision in one of your eyes.
Oh, my God.
So they immediately got us in contact with an optometrist.
Yeah.
Who basically looked at her and said, could be one of 100 things. So
okay.
We're going to send you for an MRI.
Yeah.
Next day, we go for an MRI, where they completely fucked up the paperwork, and we almost didn't get it because insurance sucks. And the difference in whether or not it was approved for insurance was about $1,000.
Okay.
So I was like, yeah, we need to know before she does this because
right.
I love her, but like, you know, there's even she's going, we can't spend that money.
Like, I love her, but she's still got one good eye. So
if she squints, she's fine.
Right.
So we went and took the MRI results to a neuro-optometrist.
Okay.
Which I guess is the next step up. And
yeah.
No tumor, no lesion on her eye, but they still are not quite sure what caused it. We figured it was the migraine, and he says it wasn't.
Hmm.
So this could still be the beginning of MS if it happens again.
Wow.
Yeah. So kids, get your eyes checked if you start to lose vision because it can be really serious.
That's kind of scary.
Yeah. Yeah. And they did all kinds of tests with her where like multiple days she had to have her eyes dilated.
Yeah.
And then like they injected dye into her so that they could look at the circulation in her eye. And basically, she has a swollen optic nerve.
Okay.
That the swelling is right in the center. So right in the center of her eyeball is blurry. Everything else around that is clear.
Right.
So the doctor says, well, you know, the only way to really fix this, it'll fix itself. But yeah. if you want it done faster, you can take these really expensive steroid shots, which have an entire side effect list of its own. Or you can wait. So they never called. The center that was supposed to call us never called. And now her eye has improved to the point where she's like, fuck this. I'm not paying for that.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, insurance is something else. Insurance is a fucking racket.
Right.
They fucking, you know, it's like car insurance. You pay when nothing's going wrong, but when you need something, then they're like, well, we don't really cover that.
Yeah, then they try to screw you out of it.
Yeah, so fuck them. But yeah, it was a little scary this week.
Wow.
The prospect of her having MS is extremely scary. And but she is the right age. The average age for somebody getting diagnosed with MS is 37. So she's right at 35, so she's right around that.
Wow.
Optimum zone.
And is it hereditary? What is it?
No, they don't know what causes MS. It's something that happens in the brain. It can happen to family members at different times, but there is no hereditary link between people getting it. And
so it's just random.
It's very random. It's like aneurysms. Anybody can get one, but MS doesn't kill you. MS just makes your life extremely uncomfortable. So, might put you in a wheelchair, might not.
Right, you know. Right.
Some, depending on the degree, and this is what the guy said. He was like, I asked him straight up, I said, does she have MS? And he said, well, not until it happens again, and then it's a real possibility.
Huh.
So, I guess in an MRI, it shows up as little dots in your brain.
Okay.
And once you get like 12 of them, that's MS or something.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, he explains it to me like I'm a fucking doctor, and I'm like, hey, why don't you explain it to me like I'm 5? Because that's pretty much what you need to do.
Right.
Because if you're telling me that it's an optic nerve and it's some kind of osis on another piece of brain tissue or whatever, I'm like, yeah, I don't understand all that. I just need the fucking bottom line. Is it MS?
Right.
And, of course, they're not willing to say definitely, no, it's not MS, because if...
Well, no, because they don't want to be sued.
Exactly. So it's like, well, you know, it's not this time, but if it happens again, well, maybe.
However, in the future...
And what I don't understand is why they tell people that, because it freaked my wife out. You know my wife.
Oh, I can only imagine. It would freak me out.
It would freak anybody out. So why they wouldn't just say, I don't see any signs of MS at this point. You know, we'll keep an eye on this.
Right.
We're going to check you again in 3 weeks. We'll see what's going on. But don't fucking be like, hey, here's one of the things that you really need to worry about now.
Right.
When they then look at the MRI and they're like, well, there's no visible signs of that. So you just freaked her out and put more stress on her than she possibly could have fucking wanted. And now you're probably going to give her another fucking migraine.
Which is, you know, something you should be able to sue over.
Yeah. So, it was an exciting week.
Wow.
Not a lot of sleep this week. And
yeah.
You know, things are better now. Her eyes improved to the point where she can pretty much see again, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Without any of the expensive crap.
Well, good.
Yeah. So, that was my fun week.
That's, yeah. It's kind of scary.
Yeah. Lots of trips to the doctor. I can't wait to see what the bills come in at.
Because
we saw 3 separate doctors.
Yeah.
And had tests done at all of them. So, yeah, this is going to get
fun.
Fucking expensive. Pretty
good. Yeah. Interesting.
I don't know how it is in Florida, but here in South Carolina, you have to pay for certain medical treatments up front.
Yes, there are some of those things now that you
like
have to do that.
The MRI we had to pay for up front.
Yep.
And there's a discount if you pay it off all at once.
Oh, well, that's good.
They're like, you get 20% off if you pay it today.
Wow.
And we were
bargain.
Like, okay. And they were like, or you could pay half and then get charged the rest later. And it's like, do I get the discount then? And they're like, no. Well, why wouldn't I fucking pay it today if I could?
Right.
And that's, my friends, what credit cards are for. So, yeah, it was something else.
Wow. Well, good. I'm glad things are better. Things are kind of okay, so that's good.
Yeah.
But, wow, that's kind of a lot to take in.
Yeah, well, you know, and they don't tell you what some of the other things could be. So they say, well, it could be MS or like 100 different things.
Right.
And you're like, well, he said MS, so that's got to be what he's
stick.
Leaning towards.
Right.
So then you're going, like, I went home and I looked up, like, people with MS and the challenges they face, and it's like, that's going to be something if that's what it ends up being. And
right,
you know, lots of people can't work and they end up going on disability, and it's like, fuck.
Wow.
We have a 4-year-old, so how does that play into it? And it's fucked up.
Definitely.
My heart goes out to all the people that have to deal with that.
Yeah, definitely. That's heavy, man. That's heavy. Wow.
Okay, Doc Brown.
Dude. Great Scott!
Marty! I don't know if you saw the commercial, but I guess Doc Brown makes a cameo appearance in the new Seth MacFarlane film.
Oh, really?
Yes.
No, I have not seen that.
Yeah, he opens the door and he goes, "What are you doing?" And the camera swings around and it's Doc Brown and he's covering the DeLorean.
Oh.
And he goes, "Weather experiments." And then, like, they go to, like, the date that it's coming out.
Oh, well, that's kind of fun.
Yeah. Seth MacFarlane has all the power now, you know.
Do you think so?
I think...
Well, he stars with Liam Neeson. It's like, wow, how much did he pay to get him in there?
Well, yeah, but look at what Liam Neeson's doing. He was in that animated film, The Nut Job, recently, that did absolutely nothing. That's what it's called. My daughter watched it the other day. And it was like Will Arnett, him, Brendan Fraser.
You go. Will Arnett and Brendan Fraser.
Well, yeah, but still.
Maybe he's not making the right choices.
But, I mean, Seth MacFarlane seems to get whoever he wants on Family Guy. And, you know, he's able to kind of put people in positions to be in films and stuff. So.
Yeah, I guess.
He brought Cosmos back to Fox.
Yeah. Okay.
He's got some pull.
Oh, I know he's got some pull. I don't know. I'm just kind of not buying it.
Are you not a big Seth MacFarlane fan?
Well, I mean, I'm getting tired of Family Guy.
Well, I think anything that's on that long gets repetitious and boring.
Yeah, I think that it's at the point where there's not a lot more they can do.
I mean, I know people say that they've watched every episode of The Simpsons, but they're not enjoying it in the same way that they once were. South
right.
Park is the same way. It's like...
Right. After a while, you just kind of lose interest.
And it gets old, and you're going to retread stuff. And, you know, while I appreciate that they make an episode of South Park in 6 days, I just, you know, it's just not the same. Like... The stories, I don't think the stories are as good as they used to be. Because they were pushing the envelope when they first came out.
Sure.
As was The Simpsons, as was Family Guy.
Yep.
And then, you know, Fox was like, well, we'll get rid of Family Guy. So they bring in American Dad, which is basically the same thing.
Right.
And then they bring Family Guy back, so now you have two of those. And then they're like, hey, let's spin off the Cleveland Show. And it's like, then you have three by the same guy. And
right.
I mean, that's why I appreciate the fact that he did Ted, and then now he's doing this, and he's got other ideas, and they're pretty good.
Okay.
Just saying.
That's okay.
I know that you've been busy, but have you heard the stuff that's going on with Marvel these days?
You mean the upset over the director of Ant-Man?
Him stepping down, who was with them since the very beginning?
Mm-hmm.
Because it was going to be Hulk, Iron Man, and Ant-Man were going to be the three big stars. And then they kept pushing Ant-Man back, and now Edgar Wright has left over creative differences.
Yeah.
which then now they're saying is above Kevin Feige. They're thinking it's either somebody higher up at Marvel or somebody at Disney who doesn't like the way that the story is going.
Well, wouldn't be the first time.
But I mean, if you look at what Marvel's doing, they've tried to push what Marvel's done with each successive movie, and like Guardians of the Galaxy is a big departure.
True.
So I don't know why they knew what Ant-Man was going into it. It was going to be a comedy. It wasn't going to be like all the others. And now they're like, I guess they're like, now it has to be like the others.
Yeah.
You know, I guess less comedy. So does that mean Paul Rudd's going to disappear? That would suck.
I don't know. It's kind of, it's really hard to determine which is the right mix and when to step in and exercise whatever bit of power you may have.
Well, but they've had missteps before. I mean, people can say that Marvel has only done one Iron Man movie right. Everybody complains about Iron Man 2, and Iron Man 3 wasn't that great. It was different, but it wasn't better.
Okay.
You know, they've gotten better with the other franchises. Thor 2 was better, and so was Captain America 2.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, Avengers is the movie that all other superhero films are being held up to now. But they've definitely misstepped, and I'm wondering if this is what is that, you know, the Pixar version for them of Cars 2. You know, do they fuck up Ant-Man to the point where they're like, there's not going to be an Ant-Man 2.
Right.
You know, or can they save it?
Well, and I think there wasn't a lot to lose up until this point, and now they have turned on so many projects and they're putting so much capital behind it that they have to start looking at it strictly for financial reasons and start saying, it's like, well, if this isn't going to make us a shitload of money, then maybe we need to make a change right now.
Is that Marvel, though, or is that Disney?
That would be Disney.
But Disney has been really successful with keeping a hands-off approach for Pixar.
Well, and that was Pixar, and I think they may kind of regret that deal.
Really?
And now they've got the bargaining power that they can just come back and say, yeah, you know what? No, we don't like this.
But, I mean, Lasseter is now so entrenched in Disney animation that, you know, he's got the say over all the other, like, Walt Disney animation projects that aren't Pixar.
Correct. But I think that could be perceived as kind of a fluke. That's the exception. That's not really the rule. He's proven himself. But, and right now they're still looking at this going, yeah, if this doesn't sell a buttload of toys.
But that's what they did for Cars, though. Cars was their number one merchandise movie. So they went out and specifically made a Cars 2. Not because they had a good story, but because it sold shit.
Well, but originally Cars 2 was supposed to be released on video, and they thought it was good enough that it would hold its own in the theaters.
Well, so was Toy Story.
And now we have Planes 2, and believe it or not, there's a Cars 3 in the works.
But Planes is a Walt Disney thing. It's not a Pixar.
No, but it's ripped off from the Pixar canon.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Disney is going about this all wrong. They need to let Marvel do their thing. Because when they were very hands-off, they made them $1 billion.
Yeah, but look at what they have done to Lucas right now. I mean, they basically went in, pared everything down, got rid of a bunch of divisions, put the can on the video games.
Yeah.
And trying to, in their way, control things from that Disney micromanaging sense of it.
But the video games and things like that make sense because of how much money it costs to create a game as opposed to a film that they know they're going to get their money back on. And LucasArts has not been very relevant in the game, the gaming industry, in a long time. So I can see kind of that. But when you get to the point where you're like, you're going to micromanage the movie, I don't think that's a smart move, because then you get John Carter.
Or the Lone Ranger.
Let's do a movie nobody wants. See, at least with Star Wars, they're like, everybody wants to see this motherfucker. Everybody wants to see Avengers 2. They can't go wrong. Everybody wants to see Marvel movies.
Yeah, but what if they do go wrong? What if the direction that Ant-Man was going in, which we have no idea what that was going to be so bad?
I don't see... They've got such a good track record right now. Until they stumble and they fail, that's when Disney should step in and not try. Because if you hear about things that Marvel did before where they were just winging some of it and like creating a lot of the stuff in the editing room and going back and being like, well, that doesn't really work, so let's go back and reshoot this. You know, they really could have fucked up, and they didn't, because they have the right people in place. Kevin Feige is a brilliant guy. He is the John Lasseter of Marvel at this point. And I think they need to let him do his thing.
Right.
Before fucking it up and saying, like, well, you need to rewrite that, and then losing one of your biggest supporters you've had since the beginning. You know, and then right on the heels of that, they turn around and they lose the showrunner for the Daredevil Netflix thing.
Right.
Not that that was a creative difference thing. That was, he was going to do another movie. I can't remember what he was going to do pre-production on, but, you know, they lose him too. So now in the news, you don't have one negative story about Marvel. You have two, instead of just being like, you know, letting them do their thing and having everything just run along in a smooth machine. Now you got people doubting it.
Well,
you know, will Daredevil be as good if Drew Goddard isn't there to show run?
That's a damn good point.
You know, it, like, they got to do the, I think he did Spartacus. I think that's what the new guy has done. But, I mean, I think Spartacus was on, like, Showtime or something, so it didn't have a huge audience.
Right.
So how do we know if that's any good? Like, Drew Goddard was a head and shoulders Daredevil fan who was going to guide that to, like, what everybody wanted to see. So is this the chink in the armor? Is this... I mean, they can always say if the Netflix thing fails, they could just be like, well, it's Netflix. We didn't really have control or whatever. You know, they're not putting it on ABC.
Yeah.
They're doing it on their own thing. They're going to binge release all the episodes at once and then do that for all of the four series that are going to Netflix. And then when they do the big series at the end, that's going to all be binge watched too. And they can say that that failed, but they can't say, you know, it's going to be harder to say, well, Ant-Man failed because of the new director. Well, maybe. But getting Edgar Wright out of there, I think, is a mistake. I think this, I'm not going to say this is the start, because I really like what Marvel's doing.
Right.
And I would hate to see it end prematurely, but you know, you're only as good as your last thing. And if your last thing is Ant-Man and it blows, that's going to hurt your next. Because Ant-Man comes out after Avengers 2, which means whatever's coming out after that could suffer.
Well, but how many people really remember John Carter of Mars?
Just the two people that saw it.
Well, there you go.
Just people are still talking about Lone Ranger, though. I mean...
I don't think as much. I think that it very quickly disappeared. Because the other thing that's going around right now is that Disney hasn't screened the movie Maleficent for any of the critics. And it opens, what, this weekend coming up?
Oh, really?
And they're saying, it's like, you know, are there problems with it because there was such a huge push behind it?
Well, I mean, but they don't always screen movies for critics.
No, but it's oftentimes they don't screen it if they don't have any faith in it.
Or they have tremendous faith in it.
I
mean, they felt good enough about it to green light the live action Cinderella.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, again, I don't think that we need a Maleficent movie. But, you know, hopefully for them it works. I think
they are looking for ways to expand the product, you know?
But they could, they're Disney. It's like NASA. They should be smart enough to come up with new ideas. I mean, look at Tangled. Everybody thought that, not Tangled, Frozen. Everybody saw those trailers and was like, this is going to suck.
Right.
This is going to be terrible. And then it came out and it made $1 billion.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's like the highest grossing animation film ever or whatever.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it surpassed Lion King, which used to be the biggest thing.
Yeah. So they have the ability to really come up with something good. All the Pixar films, like, you know, Pixar is at its best when they're doing new material.
Most definitely.
You know, like, for as good as Toy Story 2 and 3 were, like, I would much rather have seen something in a different style. You know, that's what works so well, because you have something like Toy Story, and then you turn around, you do something like The Incredibles, which is a completely different style and tone. You do WALL-E, which is their take on sci-fi. You know, they were able to make a movie work where the first 30 minutes of the movie had no dialogue.
Sure.
And, you know, they're proving that they can do it. And then they turn around and they'll do like Cars 2 or, you know.
Well, I think they do those things as a grab for money.
But they could make more money if they didn't do that.
Come up with
a different toy line.
Well, I think part of it is explaining that to an accountant.
Yeah, well.
Because when you put accountants in charge of everything, all of a sudden they get involved in things that they really shouldn't. Seriously.
Well, yeah.
I mean, they should really just be the ones who are in charge of, you know, paying the checks.
Well, and I think that's the problem. I think you get those things that are like, you get those people that are like, this is going to make a ton of money. Let's throw all this capital behind it. And then you get Lone Ranger, where people are like, we didn't ask for a Lone Ranger movie.
Sure.
You know, but people want more original stuff from Marvel. They want more original stuff. You know, Marvel doesn't want to do the same movie over and over, which is why you get something like Captain America 2, which is basically a spy thriller instead of a straight up superhero movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to cross those lines.
Sure.
So, I don't know.
It's very interesting. You don't know? Not at all?
No. Are we live?
Did you see Godzilla this weekend? Apparently the only good thing about Godzilla was the monster.
I've heard that.
At least that's what I've heard from people. Yeah.
Okay, I think we're lagging. Hang on.
Probably not.
Okay, now we're back.
Are you sure?
Yes, now it's recording.
Okay.
Yes, I have friends who went to see Godzilla and said that monster doesn't really show up until the last 20 minutes of the movie. And the story is not strong enough. You don't really care about the character, so.
But it's got to be better than the Matthew Broderick version.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, stick in the eye would be better than the Matthew Broderick version.
They said, I don't think you've seen Pacific Rim, right?
No.
So they said, the one guy that I work with said that if you like Pacific Rim, you'll hate this movie because any problems they had in Pacific Rim with the monsters or whatever is magnified 10 times in Godzilla.
Oh.
So. I haven't seen it, so I don't know if I will until it comes out on Redbox.
I don't know if I would anyway, because I just was never a big Godzilla fan. But, I mean, I remember it being on, like, Saturday afternoon TV and the creepy little girls who sang to whoever it was, Mothra or something. And
Godzuki? Godzilla's little potato-shaped son?
That's when it, like, didn't jump the ship. It just, like, I don't know.
I think it was, like, Monster Island or something they called it, where that, like, they all ended up. And I just remember as a kid, like, little Godzuki couldn't, like, do the fire breath thing, so Godzilla stomps on his tail to get him to do it and stuff. But the guy who directed that, Gareth Edwards, just got a Star Wars spinoff movie.
Yes. I'm wondering what it's going to be.
Well, his is coming out in 2016, so it's... And they're saying... They're pretty sure Boba Fett's up first. Because that's the story everybody wants to see, apparently.
Yeah, but I'd also heard that he said that he wasn't going to do what everybody wants to see.
Well...
And I at least can tell you that as of this weekend, there's a certain actor who has not been asked to come back for that role.
That actor would not be asked back.
You don't think so?
No.
You don't think it would be him looking back on his life?
No.
No?
No.
No? Oh, well. Come on, they're getting fat Carrie Fisher back.
Yeah, but that serves the story.
It does? Apparently. Can't they all meet at her funeral? I mean, honestly, really? That's the greatest way they should do a mashup of Star Wars and The Big Chill.
There you go. I think you're going to see a version of Boba Fett that's between Empire and the last time you saw him on Geonosis. You're going to get a Boba Fett in his prime, not somebody that's taken out by a blind guy with a staff.
You think so?
Yes. And I wouldn't be surprised if they asked the kid back. What's his name? The dude that played young
Daniel
Boba.
Logan?
Yeah.
Tamara Morrison? Tamara Morrison was the father of the clones.
Was Django. So yes. He turns into, like, Boba Fett under the bucket looks like
Tamara Morrison.
So do you get him back?
Well, you know, he's probably at a decent age. He's probably around 50-ish, yeah. Which would probably be about the age he'd be a good badass.
Or what was the guy's name, the actor's name, who played the younger clones? There was, like, somebody between Daniel Logan and Tamara Morrison.
Do not know.
Fuck, who is that? But I think he was supposed to represent the in-between age, and he kind of looked like Tamara Morrison a little bit. So maybe they get him back and say, you get to be Boba Fett. Because everybody loves Boba Fett.
Everybody does love Boba Fett, which is kind of weird. Because he's really not a huge character, you know? He doesn't have a lot of lines. He doesn't... I don't know. It's kind of... It's odd how this character has captured the imagination of the people. How's that?
Well, yeah. Was this the guy? Let me see. Well, he's only got that credit, but I could have sworn it was him. I thought the Jay Lagia.
No, that's Captain. That's Captain Typho.
But I thought he was also the middle guy, because if you look at those scenes, it looks just like him.
You think so?
Where'd that go?
I don't know. Where'd it go?
Oh, where'd it go? Damn you. Did you, while I'm looking this up? Oh, it was Bodie Taylor.
Oh, of course. Who?
Bodie Taylor?
Yeah, and who the hell's that?
He was the clones.
As Bodie Tehoy Taylor.
Yep.
And he has no photos, but he's from New Zealand. Well, I guess most of them were.
Yay, Google. Okay. So what were we talking about? We're talking about Bodhi, right?
We're talking about clones.
Clones. I think you could get Daniel Logan for kind of cheap. So if Disney's worried about spending a lot of money,
you can just hire somebody from New Zealand?
Yeah. Why not? Let's see. Let's see if there's a picture of him. That's Tamara Morrison. Jesus.
You said they looked alike. Maybe they really do.
Here, wait, I'll send you this. And he looks like the other dude too. Tamara Morrison. Here. Click on that.
I'm clicking. Yes, that does look like him. But it is not Tamara Morrison.
Or the other guy, Jay...
Lagaya. Yes.
So, I mean, they could technically get him, because he's probably...
cheap?
Mid to late 30s. Hey.
Sure.
You want to be a star? You want to be... you know, you want to be the guy in a Star Wars film? Here you go.
Sure.
I think that would work.
Yeah. Could be interesting.
Now, do you think they're going to go with the young Han Solo? Because that's been a point of contention.
That, yeah. I think it'd be interesting if they did Han Solo at his current age, or... he's just there to set up the story of the twins.
But are there twins?
Jaden and Jason? Well, we don't know yet.
Well, because they said there's no expanded universe stuff.
Right.
So there's...
maybe there's triplets.
I don't know. It'll be interesting. Because they're so secretive, I mean...
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what I like about Marvel, is they're like, this is what's coming out for the next 20 years.
Right.
Here's where we're going. And then it's like, you know, did you see the video that J.J. Abrams put out
for the
Be in Star Wars
yes.
contest?
Yes. With the puppet?
With the puppet?
Yes.
Which is the him going, I got this. Look, we're on a real set.
Right.
There's no green screen. Look, there's puppets.
Right.
That doesn't look like an actor in a costume. We're good. Like, I've got this.
Like, go away.
Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah. Trust me. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, and he's kind of going out of his way to do it right. So here's hoping, you know?
Well, he's a huge Star Wars fan. And I think he was probably as upset with the prequels as everybody else was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I give the prequels a lot of shit, but I mean, I definitely enjoyed the movies because it's Star Wars.
Sure.
It's like pizza. Even the bad one is good.
It's exactly.
So, you know, you have to just kind of take that with a grain of salt, to people being all pissy about it.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking arguing about Jar Jar and whatever, but
right.
You know, I think we've come a long way since then. So people just need to calm down.
Calm down, people.
Calm the fuck
down.
Ugh.
What was that for?
Anybody who hasn't seen the J.J. Abrams thing needs to go on.
How could you have not seen it?
Some people didn't. I talked to a lot of people who were like, did you see the J.J. Abrams thing that was like really excited about Star Wars? And they were like, no, I haven't seen that.
Hmm.
So you have to go to YouTube. Let's see. It was for Omaze? Was that what it was?
Yes, Omaze. And it really is kind of a cool project. I mean, all the proceeds go to UNICEF, and you pay $10 every time to if you want to enter for an opportunity to actually be in the movie. So that's kind of cool.
So if you go to YouTube and you type in Star Wars Omaze, Moaze, it's the top one. It's Force for Change, a message from J.J. Abrams.
Yep.
And it's really cool. It's you can see, I guess, part of Tatooine behind him. He's at He's in Abu Dhabi, but definitely looks like a Tatooine marketplace.
Yes.
You get to see a creature that's going to be in Star Wars.
But is it? What if it's cut? What if it's just he's messing with social media?
See, I would think that he's even better then. Because, you know, he's... I have a lot of faith in him. I mean, he did extremely well with Star Trek.
Okay.
He took a franchise that was so deeply rooted in Leonard Nimoy and William Shatner, mm-hmm. and was able to turn it around and get actors that really made the parts their own. And, like, now Chris Pine is Captain Kirk. And
sure,
you know, people say that Star Trek Into Darkness was one of the better Star Wars films ever made, as a joke, mm-hmm. that he did a big homage to all them, and he has his chance to do Star Wars for real.
Correct.
And I don't think he's gonna fuck this up.
And I think he can only hope. Can only hope.
I mean, I would really think...
Only time will tell.
I would really think that you'd see stuff at Comic-Con this year or at Star Wars Celebration.
Star Wars Celebration, I think, is a little too early, seeing as it's, what, in 2 months?
Yeah, but they could cut something together. I mean, they do that shit for the Super Bowl all the time.
Yeah.
Because you know they've already pre-vis stuff. And, you know, when they did Guardians at Comic-Con, the reel that they cut together was a bunch of, like, pre-shots, like, trying to see if Rocket Raccoon would work and
mm-hmm.
how Groot would move and things like that. So there's a good fighting chance that they have some stuff that they could show.
Oh, actually, Celebration's not until next April.
Really? I thought it was every summer.
Yeah. Apparently not.
Where is it next April?
Anaheim. Featuring host James Arnold Taylor. Wonder where I've seen him before.
I don't know.
And the digital stage is hosted by David Collins.
Who's that?
And Jimmy Mack and Jason Swank host the behind-the-scenes stage. So, you know, that should be pretty exciting.
Who are those people?
I have no freaking idea.
Wait, what was the dude's name?
Jimmy Mack and Jason Swank.
Jason Swank.
Yep.
Oh, he's from Force Cast.
Well, there you have it. Why aren't we going to be there, huh? Tell me that.
Because if we did an exclusive Star Wars podcast, we might.
You think
but
so?
We don't. We run the gambit of everything.
You don't think we'd be competing with Jimmy Mack?
I bet you that they have some kind of in at Lucasfilm.
I bet they do too. Well, we did.
We did at one point.
But not really. I mean, he claims he did, but It doesn't matter because he's not really freaking listening to this, so it doesn't matter. But you know.
Oh, that's funny.
Hilarious.
Well, you know, if he didn't fuck up his chances of working there, he might be working on episode 7, but he didn't.
Yes.
He just had to be himself, and now he's
We just wish him the best of luck.
At his video game career.
Yep.
We've worked with a lot of people that have had their shot and have just totally fucked it up.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's funny.
It is funny.
Let's see. What else is going on?
Well, did you get all caught up in the Kimye wedding?
No, I heard about it. But
it was quite spectacular.
I heard it was vomit-inducing, perfect for a reality show.
Which I'm sure will be happening.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But I think one of the weirdest things was that Jaden Smith showed up in a white Batman costume.
Did you see that him and his sister are being investigated as part of a cult?
Jaden and Willow?
And Willow.
Really?
She was photographed holding a book.
Oh, dear God.
No, it was it was a book that was written by a well-known cult leader. And the pictures of her that were floating around of her in bed with a guy.
Yeah.
Is like the cult leader.
Oh. Well, that's kind of creepy. Apparently, it's called the Organite Society.
Yes, yes. It's him, Willow, and Kylie Jenner.
Oh, well, that's perfect then.
You know, it couldn't happen to a better group of people.
No, not at all.
Yeah, but like this guy, the one dude is known for I guess like it's all about like pyramid power and
it's balancing the power of Gaia, Mother Earth.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess the Smiths are under investigation for letting their children be in this this cult. Even though I guess there's rumors that the Smiths are Scientologists as well?
I thought they were. I thought that was known.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
That's awesome. I love when there's crazy in the world.
Do they have... So, since we're on it, I have to look to see if I... Do they have pictures of Jaden in the Batman outfit?
Yeah, it's on Huffington Post. The article on Gawker, the headline is Jaden Smith and Kylie Jenner explore arts and crafts based sex cult. And what they do is they make magical pyramids out of fiberglass resin, crystals, and metal shavings in an effort to protect themselves from the negative energies emitted by cell towers. Crazy.
Let's see.
But it says that they are creating this cult themselves.
Well, I thought it was with the head of the cult. The Osa
well, the,
guy?
The guy apparently... Oh!
Holy shit.
He was the creepy little kid on Hannah Montana.
Oh, was he?
Yes. The one who looked like he was a midget or something.
Well, there you
go. So the four of them have created this cult of themselves.
Nice. I just saw the picture of Jaden Smith. That's funny.
In the Batman costume, photobombing. Yes. Yeah. Oh, even in the finest families.
That's awesome. Over the top wedding. Aww. That's just disgusting. I really hope that they don't last too long.
Mm. But, I mean, Willow's 13, so isn't that about the right age to start farming her out?
Well, of course. Well, I mean, they tried to do... well, they did... She did that song, and then she was supposed to do the Annie movie, and she went up to Will Smith and said, "I just want to be a normal 12-year-old." Which at at the time it was like, well, that's commendable because she knows that, you know, she doesn't want to be used just because of she's a kid in that family. And then you hear about this shit and you're like, oh, okay, she finally drank the Kool-Aid.
Oh, apparently Will Smith denies he's a Scientologist. I misspoke.
He's allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Oh, man. There are some fucked up people in this world.
Yes.
I can't believe he wore that to a wedding.
There's some cray cray out there.
Although he is the dude that went to the premiere of his own movie dressed as Iron Man, so.
And you know what's going to happen? In another 10 years, he's going to gun somebody down. Just like that freak out in Santa Barbara.
The son of the assistant director?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
fucked up.
That's great. I love our society. Isn't it awesome?
Well, you know, he was a disturbed individual, and they called the authorities on him, who went out and said, oh no, he's a perfectly good person. And then turns around and kills 3 people in his apartment and goes out and shoots 6 more. So, hey.
Yeah, that's great.
I mean, I almost feel like it's better when the gunman kills himself or is taken out by police, because then nobody has to relive it in court.
Mm-hmm.
Like all those guys that were shot in Colorado during the Batman movie.
Yep.
You know, they have to sit there and look at the dude that did it and hope that he doesn't get off on some kind of crazy fucking plea. Just take them out. If you know that he is the guy that shot him, just shoot him in the head. Walk away.
Yeah, I would definitely say so.
It's too fucked up for people to relive.
It's horrible. Horrible. But yeah, there's life. Oh well. Life goes on.
Are you watching the new season of 24?
No, because I haven't had the opportunity to.
I keep forgetting how busy you are.
I've been a little busy.
I know. I apologize. I forgot.
That's all right. Eventually, I will catch up. I missed the Maya Rudolph show. I was so upset.
What's that?
She did a variety hour, which was apparently pretty bad.
Oh, well, most of the time it is pretty bad.
Yes.
When are they going to fucking figure this out?
They're not. They're not. They think, and the funny part is that Jimmy Fallon can pull that shit off in very small doses.
Yeah.
But lots of other people can't. Jimmy Fallon, you know, yes, he's been starting it live.
I know, I get him mixed up with Kimmel all the time.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why. You said Jimmy Fallon, and I immediately pictured Kimmel for some reason.
Oh, okay.
But whatever. I agree. I think there are certain things that Fallon does that's funny. I think there's shit that he's going to get away with because it's the Tonight Show.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get the right people in the right mixture, then you get things like the Emma Stone karaoke lip sync thing.
Sure.
But then he turns around and he does those stupid thank you card spots.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that.
And it's like, you're having to go through 10 of them in order to get one good one.
One that lands right? Yeah.
Yeah, so if you can pretty much gauge what that's going to be, then just do the one. You know, just be like, hey, before I bring out my first guest, I just got to write a card. You do the one, you fucking walk away.
Walk away?
Walk away. Yeah.
Walk away. And? That's it, bitch. Walk away. Yeah. I mean, I've gotten in the habit of recording it so I can watch it later and fast forward.
Yeah.
And maybe out of a week's worth of episodes, there's 20, 30 minutes that's worth, you know, watching.
But
I mean, I think it's kind of cool in his mix of guests.
Yeah. Yeah, he's always got an interesting mix of guests. But I kind of feel...
Did you see the Chad Smith, Will Ferrell drum off?
No, because I'm not a big fan of Will Ferrell.
Okay. It was very amusing. Chad Smith, drummer for Red Hot Chili Peppers, and Will Smith came out looking like twins, and they had a drum off, and after Chad Smith did a fairly impressive thing, Will Ferrell started to do one, dropped one of his sticks, picked up a cowbell, and then launched into Don't Fear the Reaper, and Red Hot Chili Peppers came out and sang Don't Fear the Reaper, and I thought that was clever. That was kind of fun. But yeah,
I mean,
it's hit or miss for me. That's all I gotta say.
It's very much like every other late night TV show. They do these comedy bits that most of the time fail, and every once in a while you'll get one that's extremely funny.
Right.
But they're very few and far between.
Right. Yes.
You know, and I understand, like, you're having to do 5 hours of content a week. Well, you know, minus the musical act, but you're still having to write jokes and you're still having to produce all these bits for a show.
Right.
And not all of them are going to land. It's just like Saturday Night Live. I mean, there's weeks where there's nothing funny because you're just not feeling it that week or whatever.
Right.
But it's very reminiscent of that. It's very reminiscent of Saturday Night Live. It's very reminiscent of all the stuff that's come before it, all the stuff that, you know, I'm hoping that when, what's his name takes over late night or the late show.
Who is that?
Fuck. What's his name? He's on
that
after
guy.
Jon Stewart. Why
that
can't
guy.
I think of his name?
Seth Meyers?
No. Why can't I think of his name?
Oh, Colbert.
Yes. I'm hoping Colbert does something completely different. I'm hoping it's not the come out, tell jokes, come back from commercial, do something, do a skit, and then you do two guests in a musical group. I'm hoping that he kind of opens it up to do something different. Because, you know, Kimmel walks that line of sometimes he does the format, and then other nights he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, like the night that Matt Damon tied him up and hosted the show, I thought was brilliant because you're not expecting that.
Right. And I think that's the clever part. For every clever show, you go back to, you know, the same old boring format of, okay, now I have to interview this person and they're not really that particularly interesting, but they have an album, a movie, a TV show, a, you know, whatever coming out.
Right. And that's what late night is based on, is those types of interviews to tell you what movies are coming up and intimate moments with your favorite stars. But we don't live in that age anymore where that's the only place you
don't
see these people.
And it's no longer that special.
No.
You know, back in the old days, you know, when they would bring out, you know, either the Hollywood glamour people from the Johnny Carson era. It was, you know, you didn't see them all the time being photographed, getting coffee, slapping a cop, shopping at Safeway. But now everybody has a video camera on their phone.
Right.
So
and everybody
you can see it 30 different places on the same day, and it's like, oh, look, it's Jaden Smith dressed in a Batman costume.
You know, you don't, I'm sure that there's some kind of prerequisite now that you have to have Twitter. You have to have a social media presence.
Mm-hmm.
That all that stuff happens. So you don't necessarily have to go on those shows. There are certain people that refuse to do that. And those are the interesting guests because you're not plugged into them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming out and they're talking about experiences they had that you've never heard before because they don't do social media and they're not on podcasts and they're not on these interview shows, but every once in a while. So mm-hmm. you get interesting things. But for the most part, all the people that are regulars on any of these shows that do multiple appearances a year,
mm-hmm.
if I want to know what movie they're in, I just go to their Twitter feed.
Sure.
And they're promoting it there. You know, you can go online now and see the first 10 minutes of whatever the movie is that you want to see because they feel that that's how they need to get your attention. It's not like mm-hmm. the old days where there was three channels and
right.
late night was Johnny Carson.
Not anymore.
Nope. I mean, not now every network has a late night show. Even Fox, right? Fox has Arsenio Hall.
Yes.
So, you know, it's there's cable stations that have it now, like with Conan and The Daily Show. And, you know, The Daily Show bridged that gap for a lot of people of politics. But it's still there's still a segment where they bring out celebrities to talk about their movies. And it's just a mess.
It is a mess.
They need to come up with something different.
Yep.
Hollywood, work on that. God damn it.
Yes.
All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. Go to our Facebook page. Listen to us on Stitcher. Rate us on iTunes. You don't even have to leave a comment. Just rate us. Hit the little star thing. 5 would be good.
It's not hard.
It's not hard.
Not hard. Get off your ass. Click a star. Come on.
Subscribe. Subscribing goes a long way.
Yep.
So, and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
I'm Batman. Y'all.